Who's Talking is on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Here's Frank and Jim.
Good evening, Wahoos, and welcome, ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host, Jim Hobgood, and trusty research analyst, Michael Tusky. Happy New Year. Wahoo fans are still winding down from the 44th annual Chick-fil-A Bowl weekend down in Atlanta. Great fun, great fun. Meanwhile, number 21-ranked UVA basketball team beat LSU in Baton Rouge to record their 13th win. Tonight we'll wrap up Virginia's bowl game experience, then pivot to discuss Virginia's basketball prospects. We're glad that you've joined us.
Indeed, that is the case. This is Hobbo. We have another great show for you tonight. As Frank said, the Happy New Year edition of Who's Talking. We'll get Frank's feedback and thoughts on the game down in Atlanta, since he was there as the Who's Talking representative, as was Michael Tusky, for that matter. I was the straggler who stayed back in Richmond. But at any rate, we'll get their thoughts on the game. Then tonight, our guests will be joined not too long from now by UVA head coach Tony Bennett. He'll be discussing 13-1, terrific start to the basketball season and non-conference play. And then in the second half hour, we'll have former Virginia star who went to a Final Four in 1984, Jimmy Miller. We'll discuss the team and his impressions on the season to date. There are several ways to follow the show, and Mr. Tusky will describe those right now.
We encourage call-ins. Just dial 345-0910. Who's Talking is also streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. All of our previous shows are archived on thesaber.com. We encourage you to go onto Facebook, just search for Who's Talking, become a fan, and post comments. We also encourage listeners to download the iHeartRadio application to listen to the show live on your smartphone. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Just call us at 345-0910.
Well, Frank, your impressions of the Chick-fil-A Bowl, the pregame, postgame, and the game itself?
Well, a lot of wonderful thoughts, Hobbo. Really felt like this bowl trip and this bowl weekend, I felt like the Wahoo fan base is re-energized. It's been a long time overdue. It seems like Atlanta is a very good place for Virginia fans to go and celebrate and to gather. Good alumni base is there. Wonderful pregame events. The alumni party at the Stats Bar was terrific. Enjoyed seeing Don Majkowski and Ray Roberts. And
where is the Stats Bar? Is that down near the Georgia Dome, or where is that?
You know, it is not that far from one of the other major featured hotels. I want to say, relative to the Marriott Marquis, it was about a good 7-8 blocks, not far from Centennial Park, if that helps you.
All right, toward the Georgia Dome. Okay.
And I thought the atmosphere in Atlanta from the time we arrived till when we left was tremendous. The host hotel, Marriott Marquis, does a great job. The people there, the staff, everybody, they're into it from start to finish. I thought the UVA Alumni Association did a great job in terms of they had tables inside the Marriott Marquis giving away souvenir items like pins and so forth, and really sort of set the whole group up in a nice way. There were lots of bulletins on things to do and so forth, and you know, Virginia fans never miss an opportunity to celebrate. And Friday night inside the Pulse Bar on the atrium level was a giant gathering of hundreds of Wahoos, and enjoyed seeing everybody from Barry Koval, who's the current VAF president. Nice to see him there. And his wife, Patty, really enjoyed talking to Steve Greer, interestingly enough, that night. Saw a number of other players cycling through as it was the team hotel. I enjoyed meeting the one of the best tailgating groups from Charlottesville is Who Hall, spelled H-O-O. Second word is Hall, H-A-U-L. That crew is led by Michael and Kevin, and they had one of the best tailgates I've seen in a long time. They've got a converted U-Haul with painted in Virginia colors, all modernized with flat screens and all the works. One of the best wet bars I've seen in a long time. And
seems to be a lot of discussion of tailgate bars and other activities related to that.
We were celebrating, Habo.
Celebrating before the game. That's what you like to see.
Not sleeping on the couch with the dog
Henry. This was definitely a working trip for Mr. Maloney. I can get a sense of that right now.
It was work. My elbow is still sore. The surprising 2011 Cavaliers joyride to Atlanta obviously ended with a tough loss to the Auburn Tigers. But there were 72,000 fans there. It was a raucous night. I think the Georgia Dome is an amazing facility. It's the second time I've been there. I thought the Virginia fans were very resilient. They cheered hard. I thought the team showed a lot of backbone. Very proud of them. Little surprised at the special teams difficulties. The two punt blocks and the failed field goal attempt and the errors on the kickoff team and about eight other things you could spot were a little annoying. But those are things that will be fixed. I mean, you know, to think that Auburn won the national title last year, they got plenty of talent.
That was certainly my sense just watching the game. You really did have a sense that they have to be the best 7-5 team in the country. Well, I guess they're 8-5 now. But, I mean, going into the game and the losses, as we discussed last week on the show, LSU and Alabama shouldn't count. And I think the others were Clemson, Georgia, and Arkansas. All very good teams.
Cupcakes there.
No. So, I mean, Auburn, deceptively good, and they certainly – and the funny thing was, in some ways, I think Virginia had misfortune when the first team quarterback got hurt and went out because the guys that came in behind him played very well.
No doubt. And that rotation of three quarterbacks is the strangest thing I've seen in a long time. Their convoluted offense is hard to follow and difficult to defend and – You know, the loss of Chase Minifield going in, we pretty much were 90% certain he was not going to play with a twisted knee. But it was a big surprise when Steve Greer did not play, our middle linebacker, leading tackler, defensive quarterback, if you will. Without him in the lineup making the adjustments during the game really hurt Virginia. And I don't think I could put enough emphasis on that. I think, obviously, the Wahoos themselves are smarting a little bit. But, you know, I think fans in general need to recognize that the team has improved greatly in the last 2 years. And bottom line is downright amazing. High-profile wins over Florida State, Georgia Tech, and Miami must be appreciated. The depth is improving as the improved recruiting continues. And in my opinion, Virginia shows actually all the signs of a team on the way up. And they will be challenging for ACC title and a major bowl game very soon.
No, I think Coach London, I think the fact of the matter is he's ahead of schedule after 2 years.
Yep.
And the future is bright for Virginia football, which is exciting.
All right. Well, I understand right now that Coach Tony Bennett is joining us now. So, Habba, why don't you do the introduction?
Yeah, Coach Bennett, of course, his third year at the University of Virginia, played at Wisconsin Green Bay, played for his dad, Dick Bennett, who's a legendary coach who coached also at Wisconsin and Washington State. Of course, Coach Bennett was at Washington State for 3 years before he came to Virginia. And as I say, 31-31 in his first couple of years. But this year, 13-1. So, Tony, are you with us?
I'm here. Yep, I'm with you. Good
All right.
You.
Yeah, this is Jim Hobgood, Frank Maloney. And let's just start with the 13-1. Talk a little bit about the success this year and what has been the difference.
Well, I think there's more experience this year. We obviously, Mike Scott being back on the floor, giving us a threat, you know, on the interior and even facing has helped. And, again, fifth-year senior, and Sammy Zaglinski, and then Asan is a senior, and Mike. So that all that stuff's helped. And then the other players have taken it seriously to improve in the offseason. I think everybody made improvements in their game. And again, we've played in a lot of close games. We know we're not a dominant team in terms of man for man, we're going to overwhelm you. But when they really come together and are focused, we feel like we can be very competitive and successful against most teams out there. So, you know, it showed against LSU. We played a good ball game, and you know, against Towson, where we weren't quite locked in or just didn't play as well as we have been. You know, we were on the ropes against a team that, you know, played hard and played well, but you know, had obviously struggled before that. So that's always a reality check, and you just got to – every game is unique in and of itself. You better be ready. But I like the ability for guys to handle certain situations in games where we've been down or been on the road, and they've kind of rallied together and come away with some tough victories.
Coach, obviously the question we want to tackle almost right on first thing here is your defense is producing amazing results this year. Probably should not come as a surprise to anyone, least of all you, since how much you emphasize it. What are the keys to this year's team in terms of how well they're executing your vaunted defense?
Well, I think, you know, it has to do with that experience, familiarity in the system. But just because we've done it against the teams we've played so far, I tell you guys, that doesn't guarantee you're going to be able to just lock down everybody you play. Actually, Seattle got us in a game where we couldn't handle them. But I think our anticipation's better. Again, our chemistry on the floor, just less thinking, more anticipating and less reacting, I guess, is always the key to good defense. So guys are really battling. I think they realize that's so important. Your offense can come and go, and sometimes you're hot, sometimes you're not. But if you can really, you know, be stable and sound on the defensive end, that's going to keep you in games. And so, you know, of course we work real hard at that, and certainly we've got to play good offense as well. But I think the guys, you know, again, have the familiarity and understand how important that side of the ball is for us, or, you know, that end of the floor.
Yeah, I think one of the keys to your defense, and this is just Jim's opinion, and, of course, I could be wrong because I'm wrong often. But
me too. Don't worry about it.
As, you know, Jontel Evans, I think one of the toughest things to do in college basketball is to guard another team's guard off the dribble, particularly now that they don't call palming the ball very much anymore. And, you know, if that guy beats you out front off the dribble, that really kind of makes the defense on the backside a little difficult. So talk a little bit about Jontel and his development as a player since you've been at Virginia.
Yeah, our team defense is so important. We try to keep the ball to the lane. But the key to any defense, but especially ours, is that point of attack. We always say, you know, cut the head off the monster and it's going to die. And we always challenge Jontel, you know, be really good on the ball. You know, pressure the guy, but keep him in front and frustrate him. And Jontel is at times been our unsung hero in terms of stuff that maybe doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but just keeping that guy in front and wearing down that opposing lead guard and challenging him. And sometimes he'll generate offense with his defense, whether it's a steal or a good play. And I think Jontel's actually improved, you know, with his decision-making on the offensive end and getting into that lane and backing up with some good decisions. He's worked hard on his touch, his floaters, and his, you know, his layups, and then also, you know, worked hard on shooting the basketball. So there's little improvements in all those areas, and that's made him more effective. But he sets the tone when he's right defensively for us. That really makes a difference. And it is with the talent and the athleticism of players today. And you're right, they allow you to, at times, some guys really cup it and cross over and carry it. You better, we talk about guarding our alley. You know, we kind of say everybody's got an alley, and you got to try to take care of that alley. And Jontel does it very well.
Coach, let's look ahead to Miami. I just had a thought. From your perspective, how will Miami be different under Jim Larrañaga as opposed to Frank Haith?
Well, Coach Larrañaga, Coach Haith is doing a heck of a job at Missouri and did a, you know, a good coach, certainly. And Coach Larrañaga, everybody knows he's an excellent coach as well. He built a great program and did good things at George Mason. And, you know, they're an experienced team. And so he's come in and he's a smart coach. He's kind of figuring out what helps this team be most successful. And their most recent games, they're scoring. I mean, they're scoring in the 80s. They scored 90 in their last game. So he's sort of changing it as the season has progressed. Really, you know, a lot of ball screens spreading out. And they're a little closer offensively to what they did last year as the season has progressed. Now, certainly they could do different things. But they're, you know, he's a very good defensive coach. And just a sound coach, Coach Larrañaga is, and he's doing a good job. They've got the big kid Reggie Johnson back, so that's helping them. He's really a load inside, and I think their guards will be probably the best guards we've faced this year that we'll have played with. You know, I really think that's the two guys that Durant, Scott, and Grant. Those guys can really play. They got. The Larkin, he's a new addition, but they have other capable guys. But that will be the biggest test we'll have had in the backcourt with their perimeter players.
Coach, we've got to go to break. Can we carry you over to the other side?
Yep.
All right, we're going to go to break now. When we come back, we're going to have some more questions for Coach Bennett. Please stay with us.
All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Jim Hobgood, Frank Maloney here, and we still have Coach Tony Bennett on the line with us. And, Coach, first of all, thank you for sticking with us through the break. Sorry about that, but just a couple of more questions before we let you go. Speaking of former Virginia assistant coaches, Dave Odom, when he was at Wake Forest, always liked the time between semesters because it gave him some extra practice time, and I was just curious, do you do anything at this time of year different from a practice perspective?
Well, you know, the guys are not having to study, so there's more time to get some individual skill work. You know, now we're on a pretty consistent where there's either we played three games with only 2 days between each game, our previous three. Now we have 3 days. We gave them off after our LSU game, so we had today as a practice, and now we have two more. So it becomes pretty traditional like it will once conference play starts, but there are opportunities we used over the break to get extra skill work. Extra film work. I didn't do two-a-days. Maybe if guys wanted to come in on their own, but they're just, I think it is a great time to hone some of the individual development and fine-tune some areas that maybe you don't have the luxury of time once the school the school year has started or the semester starts.
Coach, I thought last year that Ahsan Sen was your most improved player. Who's your most improved player so far this year? And the second question is, how will you get your team to play their best ball as we launch into ACC schedule?
Right. Our most improved player. You know, I think everybody's improved a bit. You know what I mean? And I think
right.
That's what's made the whole team. It's been a collective improvement, but it's nice to have certainly, you know, Sammy healthy. I can't put Mike in there. I think Sammy's improved. You know, we mentioned John Tell, and I think John Tell really has taken a nice step. And Joe has improved his game too, Joe Harris. So maybe those two I'd point to right now out of the group. I think that's important. And then, you know, what we're going to have to do to play our best ball, I think, you know, the word I used in the pregame talk before LSU and what we focused on is that, you know, the conviction. And I said, you're going to have to, as the competition goes up, as the intensity improves, you're going to have to run your offense with conviction. You're going to have to get on the floor. You're going to have to show it. You can't, nothing but that will be good enough. And I think it's that ability. And I think our guys understand, you know, with a smaller rotation, I mean, we're playing. Well, we have nine guys now out there. You know, we'll play Paul Jesperson limited minutes, but he got in there for some, and Darion. But the seven guys are playing the lion's share of the minutes. So those guys really have to be sound and you know, disciplined in their approach and have a great sense of conviction in terms of how we prepare. I think our guys know that the level of play will continue to improve. And you know, either you stay with it or you get left behind. So our guys are really eager about playing, and they're close-knit. I think sometimes when you go through some adversity, that even draws you closer. So hopefully we stay healthy, guys. And, you know, our guys, they really, we talked about in the offseason, really taking a step this year and trying to make this a year that is a big step for us, and that's the challenge in front of us.
Yeah, as Frank will tell you, before the season started, Hobbo went on record predicting 25 wins. Not to put pressure on you, I was a little nervous. I was a little nervous after the TCU game, but I'm feeling a lot better now, Coach.
You said 25, huh?
Yeah.
And I said 23, Coach.
But at any
Holy
rate,
Dad, cow, you're quite that's impressive. Thanks for the confidence. We'll see.
But at any rate, before we let you go,
you're taking me out to dinner. I'm telling you that much.
All right, but before I let you go, I think our listeners would appreciate. Appreciate maybe just a word or two about the four kids that have signed letters of intent for next year.
Sure. Well, we'll start with I'm trying to remember the order in which they committed, but I'll just go through them as they come to mind. First one, Mike Toby, and he might have been the first commitment. I think he was actually. Is you know he's almost 7 feet. When he and Ahsan were standing on the visit, some of our guys thought he was a little taller than Ahsan. 6'11", 7 feet really doesn't matter. He has a real big upside. He's skilled, deceptively athletic, but has real nice touch. You know, he can step out and shoot the face up, but he's got some back to the basket moves and good instincts. How quickly he can adapt, but of course, be the physical side of things, and you know the ability to defend, and you know all the little nuances that go with being a defender on this team and in our system. But I think Virginia fans are going to be real excited to watch his career unfold, because I think he has a big upside, and we're excited about Mike, and you know, he's doing a good job this year. I tell you one thing about him, and if I'm going too long, you guys cut me off. I know you got your commercial breaks, but he chose this school because he wanted a great academic school, and he also wanted to go to a college basketball program where he felt he could help turn around and make a difference. Those were kind of his two prerequisites. He really wanted life beyond basketball, and you know, to make a difference. So that was obviously important for them. We like him. Evan Nolte, 6'8", just got MVP of a tournament in Charlotte. I'm drawing a blank on it. A big tournament. A lot of great players at it down in South Carolina. The Beach Ball Classic, I think it's called.
Yep.
He played real well. A skilled, kind of a facing wing forward, can play some four, you know, perhaps can play some three. He just really, again, is a smart player and is playing some good basketball, understands how to play. And as he develops physically, I think he's going to have a very nice career too. Tevin Jones is kind of the most one that people wouldn't know as much about. He's at a prep school. He played football in high school, was a very good high school basketball player. Tough, hard nose, can guard the ball, complete offensive player, and a nice athlete. Again, like his completeness, his ability to shoot, put it on the floor, and with his athleticism, hopefully can heat up the ball, because we talked about how important that is for our system. And then Justin Anderson, who is you know, certainly a very gifted 6'6 athlete, wing player, that I think could be a heck of a defender, and you know, he's probably got a little more skill than people realize. He's more than just an athlete, very highly touted, but a real dynamic player, a leader, and he also has some highlight dunks. I'll tell you that much. He can do that. But as far as his game, I think he can really do the X factor things on the glass, guard people. But he's continuing to improve his offensive skill set, which is making him a dangerous player. And so it's a nice group of four, and perhaps there'll be a fifth one at it, you know, with the availability of our scholarships. That'll just be determined as the season unfolds.
Well, it really sounds good, Coach. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your calling in to join us tonight. Wish you nothing but the best against Miami and the rest of the way, and we hope to have you back in here in another couple, 3 weeks to give us an update on how things are going.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you, Coach.
Head Coach Tony Bennett, we're going to go to break now, and we're going to come back. And don't forget, we've got Jimmy Miller on the other side and quite possibly Jody Smith as well. So stay with us. We'll be back after these messages.